1 Corinthians chapter 3.
Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives among you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. For God's temple is sacred, and you together are that temple. Do not deceive yourselves. If any of you think that you are wise by the standards of this age, you should become fools so that you may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. As it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows that the thoughts of the wise are futile. So then, no more boasting about human leaders. All things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world or life or death, or the present or the future. All are yours, and you are of Christ, and Christ is of God.
When you walk in to Sunday at 6, how do you feel? As you look around a funny room, it's quite cold, unless you stand under a heater, in which case it's quite hot. There's a very unique smell. The squash is a bit too strong. I'm sorry about that. I'm the one that makes it each week. We cut our donuts in half. It doesn't feel very special, does it? By the world's standards, Sunday at 6 doesn't feel particularly impressive or remarkable. In fact, there are probably some way cooler places you could be right now. Did you know that on Sunday night, the Letchworth Canoe and Kayak Club meets at 8 o'clock? Or you could be watching the new Black Panther film in the Broadway up the road. In fact, often, Christian stuff, Christian meetings, Bible studies, they don't feel very impressive, do they? Well, I think this might be a little bit how the Corinthians felt back when this was written. I remember chapter 1, verse 26, you can flick back if you want. It said, not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. The Corinthian problem is that they felt insecure about themselves. They were insecure about how other people saw them, which is why they were often arguing and trying to make themselves look impressive and trying to feel better about themselves. So at the start of our passage today, Paul is trying to change the Corinthians' point of view. Verse 16, he says, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives among you? So this is our first point on the handouts. Realize that God's Spirit lives in you. I think the Greek or the ESV translation says this a bit more helpfully than the NIV. It says God's Spirit dwells in you. So you are God's temple. Instead of God living in the physical temple or the tabernacle, like in the Old Testament, we are now the temple. So this means God's Spirit dwells inside us and inside you. And Paul is talking to all of the Corinthians here, not just the best Corinthian or the most experienced Corinthian Bible study leader or the Corinthian vicar. He's talking to all of them. If you're a Christian, God lives in you by his Spirit. And I don't think we dwell on this enough. Do we realize what this actually means? God's Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, who has been dwelling in unity with God the Father for eternity, he now lives in you if you're a Christian. And I think we probably kind of know this, we hear it at church, but it's really easy to forget, I think. The God who made the world, his Spirit, lives in us. The God who controls every little thing in the world, his Spirit lives in us. The God who raised Jesus from the dead, the God who will one day make a new perfect world where there will be only goodness and no sin and no death and no crying, his Spirit lives in us. And His Spirit doesn't just stop over occasionally in your body over the Christmas holidays. He dwells in you fully. He doesn't need topping up, going to a Christian festival over the summer. It's not dependent on how good you've been this week. Remember Paul saying this to a people that he's just called babies in verse 1, or infants in Christ. Whether you're sitting here in this room, or at school tomorrow morning, or Friday night at a party, God's Spirit lives in you. Realize this. Remember this. I don't know if anyone has heard of a man called Amo Roselli. He's the father of five, and he's a taxi driver from Gloucestershire. And in December last year, he played the lottery on a Wednesday. Three sets of numbers, same as normal, same as he did every week. He didn't check the numbers that Wednesday night because he's working late. And a few days passed, and he kept driving people around in his taxi as normal. And then suddenly, he remembered to check his ticket a few days later. He fumbled around in his glove box of his taxi, where he'd left the ticket, and he couldn't believe it when he realised 2 days ago he had won £24 million. And when he remembered to check his lottery ticket, when he realised that he'd won, it changed everything, of course. All that time, he'd been driving around in his taxi, not realising he had this ticket in his car. And the Corinthians here, they're carrying on with life, and they've forgotten that God's Spirit lives in them. And they don't realise how good it is to have His Spirit in them. And Paul is trying to make them see things as they really are. He's saying, don't you know? Don't you realise God's Spirit is living in you? This is really big news. It changes things. Look down at verse 17. Look how important God thinks this is as well, that His Spirit is in Christians. He says, if anyone destroys God's temple, that means if anyone harms these Christians in their faith, God will destroy that person. False teachers that deliberately take people away from Jesus by their wrong teaching will be punished in the future, just like we heard this morning in Jude. God takes this utterly seriously. And this follows on from the paragraph above, verses 10 to 15. Paul basically says that as the other apostles teach the Corinthians, or as pastors and ministers teach Christians nowadays, well, in the future, when Jesus returns, their work will be judged. The quality of their teaching will be judged. And they'll be rewarded for good work. And this is because God cares so much about the growth of His people. So back to verse 17. If someone is deliberately harming the church, they will face the consequences in the future. And God is fierce. He deeply cares for His church, where His Spirit is dwelling right now. I don't know if anyone has seen any of those Planet Earth series on TV in the last few years. I always remember the elephant parents, the way they're so protective over their children. And at the slightest sign of danger, all of the elephant adults surround the little baby elephants in a circle. Each one is 3 meters high, 5 meters long, weighing up to 5 tons. They've got a meter long tusks. It's a really terrifying thought. They care so much about their children. Well, this is how God cares about His people. It says here, if anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person, for God's temple is sacred. God cares more than anything about the growth and the protection of His church. Well, this is all very well. God's Spirit lives in us. But look at verse 18. Do not deceive yourselves. Paul says this because it's a real possibility. It's hard to remember these things each day. We so easily forget that God's Spirit lives in us. We don't feel that different to non-Christians. And maybe we even look foolish or silly coming to hear a Bible talk and singing songs in a smelly room on a Sunday night. And it's hard as well, because we want to look good by the world's standards. We want the world around us to think that we're intelligent and well thought through. I know I certainly do. I want my friends and my parents to think that I'm making good life decisions, that I'm intelligent, that I'm thoughtful. But if we are open about our faith, about our belief in the Lord Jesus, and that we truly want to follow him, well, at some point, people are going to disagree with us, or people will quietly think that we're deluded, or think that we're wasting our time following a God who is crucified. Verse 18 says, if any of you think that you are wise by the standards of this age, you should become fools so that you may become wise. Or you could say, so that you become wise in God's eyes. And this is not saying that Christians should try to look unintelligent or stupid, or that they should never get a good job, but it's telling us to get our priorities right. The Christian life is a life that may well look stupid to the world at some point. And it's no surprise, because remember our memory verse for last month, the message of the cross is foolish to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. Christianity easily looks silly to the world, God sending his son to the earth in human form, but he ended up letting himself get killed. To a non-believer, it looks like the plan has gone completely wrong. But to the Christian believer, the cross of Christ is the power of God. This is how we're saved and forgiven. If we're Christians, we have God's Spirit living in us now, and we have the hope of resurrection life, of eternal life in heaven forever. And that's what verse 19 and verse 20 are about. Worldly wisdom is ultimately futile. Having worldly priorities are ultimately worthless. Even if we reach the top in whatever area of study or sports or arts or career, they're ultimately futile because they have no concept of life after death, no hope of heaven. It's a bit like you've got this juicy, crisp jazz apple. You're really excited to eat it, salivating at the thought of that sweet pear drop taste, that refreshing crunch. And you take a bite and you look back at it to see it's all brown and rotten and holy with a family of maggots living inside. It's such a letdown. It promised so much, but it was a disappointment. And so, of course, you chuck the rest of it away. The worldly way of living looks appealing, but really it's futile. The worldly way of living is empty, so don't be deceived. Well, let's recap. The Corinthians, they're confused, they're insecure, they've forgotten how good they have it as Christians. They've forgotten that God's Spirit lives in them. They've forgotten that they have the hope of a glorious future in heaven. And so all they care about is trying to look impressive now. Can we have our slide up, Becca? Thanks. Has anyone seen one of these before? It's called a puffer fish. If you look down at chapter 4, verse 6, it tells us that the Corinthians are puffed up against each other. And this comes up, this imagery comes up loads in 1 Corinthians in the letter. It means the Corinthians are full of hot air, yet all they care about is trying to make themselves look good and look big right now. Like Paul mentioned in his sermon a month ago in chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, the Corinthians are following a worldly syllabus. They're not following God's syllabus. So this is point two, which is shorter than point one. Paul's saying, stop having these worldly arguments. Thanks, Becca, we'll lose the pufferfish. Verse 21, so then, no more boasting about human leaders. Paul says, stop trying to make yourselves look impressive, because it doesn't make sense. If we're following God's syllabus, then we need to realise that we have God's Spirit living in us. The Corinthians are just boasting about who's their favourite preacher, but it's such an insignificant thing. They've completely forgotten that God's Spirit lives in them, and it's huge. This is a big mind shift, though, and it's hard. And we're so quick to feel insecure, I think, so much so that we can put quite a lot of effort into looking more impressive to other people in some quite subtle ways. So maybe it might go something like this. All right, Colin, I've just booked my ticket to the conference in the summer. Kevin DeYoung speaking, did you know? He's a great speaker. I've been listening to his sermons for years and years. He's really helped me grow in my faith. Oh, what's that? You don't have a ticket. You're not even going. Well, you might think to yourself, what, Colin has never even listened to a Kevin DeYoung talk. Well, he must be a very immature Christian. He must just not be very godly. Well, the thing is, Kevin DeYoung's sermons might well be very helpful, and I'm very sure that they've helped hundreds and thousands of people who've listened to them. But using things like this to make ourselves feel superior to other Christians is wrong. Whether it's which Christian leader or preacher that we like, whether it's our church background, how much serving we do, whether we play in the band or not. In fact, there are all sorts of ways that we might try and make ourselves look impressive, to make ourselves like a pufferfish. Maybe it is your wholehearted devotion to listening to every Kevin DeYoung sermon ever. Or maybe it's your Bible study attendance, or academic qualifications, or university offers, sports achievements, the new car we can afford because of that promotion at work. Or maybe it's lack of Bible study attendance. Oh, I couldn't make it last night. I had this party to go to. Not that many people were going, so I couldn't really turn it down. And there are lots of ways we're tempted to inflate ourselves, to make ourselves look impressive to others. But if we're Christians, we have no need. We have God's Spirit living in us. Paul finishes this passage saying, all things are yours. And that includes the biggest thing we could ever need, God's love, sending his Holy Spirit to live in us. So even though it's sometimes hard to believe as we look around at Sunday at 6, or even if we feel weak or lowly, even though Christian stuff certainly doesn't look that impressive in the world's eyes, don't be deceived. Realize that God's Spirit lives in you right now. The message of the cross is foolish to those who are perishing. So no wonder Christian stuff can look weak or foolish too. But to us who are being saved is the power of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you for your wisdom in sending a weak-looking Saviour to rescue us. Lord, we thank you that your Spirit lives in us now. And we're sorry we forget this, and we're sorry that for the times when we try to make ourselves look impressive on our own. Heavenly Father, please help us to remember how good we have it. Help us to remember that we have your Spirit dwelling in us. Amen.